This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Good morning, taking you to a Friday on Halftime here on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com. It is 1 minute after 11 o'clock in the morning. Phil Elson, Matt Jones. Colton's at the controls for the time being while CNET finds his way back into the studios very soon. Good morning, Matt Jones. Once again, on a Friday, made yourself looking pretty today. And I'm excited about getting into this weekend. Daughter's turning 15. Mom is around. Going to be Father's Day. Got some sports to watch. And it looks like we may have maybe two sweeps in the NHL and NBA finals.
It's been a long year for a couple teams, and it's I think you got to be appreciative, even if you make it to the finals and get the silver polish. Nothing wrong with silver polish, McElroy, but it's the ultimate mountain. It's the ultimate goal is to cut down the nets, and only one team gets to do it each year. That's why it's special. Boston's going for their 80th win. It'd be the first time an Eastern Conference Finals team since 2012-13 of the Miami Heat had 82 wins, talking about regular season and playoffs. Boston's also going for the first time ever to sweep a Conference Finals and an NBA Finals, which that's pretty legit.
Quite a winning streak to end a season on if you can pull it off.
Absolutely. And then I know there's haters out there. They say, well, what Hall of Famers did they beat? You know, what superstars did they beat? All you can do is beat the team that's in front of you.
Well, there's a couple of superstars on the team that's in front of them right now, but one of them is not playing enough defense. I guess is the way you put it. We're also told here, and I'd forgotten about this. Mr. Pibb reminds us Derek Ruskin is getting married this weekend, so that's another thing to look forward to. Though I did not get an invite. I don't know if you did either. Might be keeping a little bit small to the people that he works with on a day-by-day basis, but not going to be part of it. But congratulations to Derek. That's kind of fun. And, of course, if you're a sports talk show host who focuses on college sports, you get to do it. You get to do it when any of your teams are playing. Though, what would you have done if today or this weekend the Razorbacks would have been in the College World Series? Yeah. Well, I guess some people might have missed it to go to Omaha, but don't have to worry about that. We'll get that started today. With North Carolina and Virginia starting in Omaha in a couple of hours. And then you get, well, this is the ACC plus one bracket that gets going today. Florida State, Tennessee, 6 o'clock. That'll be a great game. I'm looking forward to putting that one on. And, hey, you want to talk about a tournament that's getting started across the Atlantic Ocean in Munich. Euro 2024 will start as well. Copa America begins next week. So, hey, don't tell us that there aren't major team sports events that are going on once these finals are complete and the College World Series is complete. I know you'll be watching later on today. Germany and Scotland, should this be a good one?
No, Germany's Joachim Löw was their coach the last time they won the World Cup, and they have they've been grasping at straws the last couple tournaments, knocked out early, pool play. They really haven't had success. They struggled when they kept their team that won it and they started aging and they didn't really have any more youth to come to the squad. You have absolute studs on the German team. They're one of the favorites. So it'll be interesting to watch Poole play. Scotland, no, don't really have them doing much. I really think there's only five teams that can win it. I guess, you know, bookmakers or whatever you want to go, there might be a couple more, but it's going to be fun. There's a lot of talent. England's midfield, Declan Rice and Jude Bellingham, OMG. I mean, what an upgrade. Anybody who knows soccer, it was Eric Dier and Jordan Henderson was English midfielders the last couple tournaments. Not even in the same class. Not even close. Jude Bellingham is a Galactico. Declan Rice has only done nothing but get better. Jordan Henderson and Eric Dier wish they were as good as those two.
What do these two tournaments mean? Does it have anything to do with the Olympics coming up? Does it have anything to do with the World Cup in a couple of years? Or are these just standalone tournaments to raise a trophy when it's all said and done?
Well, you know the Olympics, Phil, is going on too. So you look, I saw Brazil play USA over just a couple days ago, and looked like a pretty docile Brazil team. And that's a Mount Rushmore type of country as far as when it comes to soccer.
You wouldn't usually use the term docile to describe a team like that,
but
right?
Exactly. But Neymar's not there. You've lost Coutinho. You lost Roberto Firmino. Marcelo's. I mean, you start looking down the list of people that usually are on that squad. So they're kind of doing a revamp. They're changing. Gabriel Jesus for Charlton. Neither one of those there. I mean, he plays for Arsenal and Tottenham as far as Jesus is at Arsenal and Richarlison is at the Spurs. Those are high level teams. And then, but what I'm getting to is Olympic teams, it's 23 and under and you get three overs. So the teams are a little off that when you're looking at them, it's like, what do they prioritize? Euros is definitely prioritized over the Olympics.
It's so interesting to look at that too, because just look at the controversy about the selection for women's basketball in the United States, and there's nobody who is younger than 26 years old. Meanwhile, in soccer, you know, nobody can be, I guess only three players per team can be older than 26. So valuing experience in one, but obviously, you know, when it comes to international basketball, you'd put Olympics over World Cup, wouldn't you?
I couldn't tell you anything about World Cup basketball.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say it would be Olympics. What else? So you got the second day of the U.S. Open. Patrick Cantlay took the lead going into day two. Everybody's got their jokes and favorite potential sponsors for collegiate sports leagues that now might end up being, I guess you'd say, renamed the same way that bowl games were renamed for years. What was the first? I don't remember the first time that a bowl game got a sponsor where the business name went in front of the traditional name for the bowl. And sometimes the traditional name just gets lopped off. For a while, the Gator Bowl wasn't the Gator Bowl. It was the Tax Slayer Bowl. Now I think you put the title sponsor in front of the name so you know exactly where it's being played. But I wonder if some of these league names will just kind of go away. And I don't see anything like that happening in the SEC or the Big Ten. These are the leagues that basically their sponsors are the ones that they partner with to put their games on television. That's where you're going to think about these leagues and their main sponsor. That's where the main source of income is coming from, and that's why these other leagues, Conference USA, American Conference, the Big 12, and whomever else, is just trying to play some catch-up here. So, we got jokes about this. I've seen jokes that Waffle House would be a great sponsor for the SEC. Seems like that potentially could make sense. Take your guess of any kind of flavored beverage or mayonnaise that could get thrown in there too. But I don't think it's going to happen to this league and not the other big league in college sports. It'll be the ones that are trying to play catch up. I also saw that the Arkansas men's basketball Twitter account has posted a tweet with 140 Razorback emojis about an hour and a half ago. So that must mean somebody is making a decision to play for John Calipari, which would be the 10th new commit and would be, I guess, I don't know if you'd say the cherry on the top, but like the last of the big commits, because he said he's going to look for a 10th player who would be a role player and would know what his role is. So you know, not all, it's not always the day that the big tweet comes out with all the emojis, because that's how you do it. It's got to be an emoji, or in this case, 140 of them. They could probably put another 140 out there. It's been a few years since you could put 280 characters on a tweet. So that will, who knows if it happens today or we find out on Monday, because it's usually been on Mondays. Yeah, JT remembers FedEx and Allstate were the ones that were in front of the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. The first time, the first one I remember actually was a company called USFNG, which I don't even know if that company is around any longer. And that was a title sponsor of the Sugar Bowl. It might have been in the early 80s. Late 80s, early 90s. But that was the first one that I remember. USFNG Sugar Bowl. But I do remember FedEx Orange Bowl. That one definitely definitely is something people remember, too.
The CarQuest Reliance Bowl, that was 1995. I would have been 11, 12, somewhere around there. That's the first bowl I remember the Hogs, because they played in the SEC championship game, and bless his heart, Madre Hill could have played on Sundays, no doubt about it. And, you know, he tore his knee up twice that season and just was a bad deal. But then they went off to play North Carolina in the CarQuest Reliance Bowl.
Now, where was that game played? Was that played in Miami?
It's an East Coast game.
Or was it played in Charlotte?
Yeah. There you go. I want to say maybe the Carolina Panthers expansion stadium. Maybe does that sound right?
Might be. Another one that I remember, and hey, this will show you, you know, a time where this company was still around and had the money to spend on it. Who remembers the Blockbuster Bowl? From Blockbuster Video. That actually could be a pretty good sponsor, a title sponsor for the remainder of the Pac-12. That's going out of business, essentially.
Yeah, you get Netflix to sponsor the SEC, and every single game's on Netflix. I mean, bam. That's exactly right.
Buffering.
I don't want it to go to that.
I hope not.
That's where it'll be in 7 years.
You know what it is right now, Matt? I mean, it's the ESPN Southeastern Conference. That's what it is. The title sponsor to this league.
You got the SEC Network. That's right. ESPN's the.
I mean, the Big Ten doesn't need a title sponsor, but you could put their TV partners right in front of them. They'd be the CBS, NBC, Peacock, Fox, Big Ten. Although I really think maybe the idea of going with a full-time math tutoring company for a conference that insists on staying with the number, that they haven't had that number of members since 1992. I think it's the last year that the Big Ten actually had 10. Maybe Mathnasium would be a great sponsor for the Big Ten, or whatever the 12 is going to be, because that's the first one that's come out. The Mathnasium 12, I think, works perfectly for a league that's got 14 schools.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Are you ready to give your family the best 4th of July experience yet? USA Fireworks wants to make that happen. Go to hitthatline.com/USAFireworks and enter for your chance to win a $1,000 fireworks show. It's $1,000 wholesale of fireworks worth more than $2,000 retail. Again, hitthatline.com/USAFireworks. The USA Fireworks banging giveaway, courtesy of USA Fireworks, ESPN Arkansas, and hitthatline.com.
All guests join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. That's where we have Aaron Torres with us today from the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast and Fox Sports Radio. And it's been a couple of weeks, AT. Where you been? How you doing?
I'm doing great. A little tanner than the last time that I know this is an audio medium. At least I'm only audio. But a little bit tanner since you last saw me. Put on a few, pounds, but not in a good way. Not in like a Arkansas tight end trying to beef up the play-o line. Not a lot of weight room weight that's been added. But it's been good. Here's the big question. Listen, I don't want to bring any negativity to the program here, but obviously Arkansas baseball season did not end as planned. Is Phil Elson going to take at least 1 week of vacation before we have to ramp back up and start talking football?
Yeah, I took a couple of days the week that they were eliminated, and very okay. Appreciative to Matt Jones for hosting without me. There will be a couple of other days, I'm sure, that will be taken like that. Matt's taking some time off, too. It's rare for us. We don't know what this feels like normally, so maybe we need you to coach us.
Yeah, well, I remember last year, July 4th was like a four-day weekend somehow. I can't remember all the logistics now, but we both had like a four-day weekend, and the three of us with Matt as well had like a four-day weekend, and none of us knew what to do with all of our time. It was terrifying. I mean, we survived it, but yeah, man, I hope you take vacation. It's obviously been well-earned after a long baseball season. You know, most of us that cover college sports get to relax after basketball ends, and you're just starting to ramp up. So I'm glad to hear that you're taking some time, spending some time with family, stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah. Mom's around. Daughter's got a birthday on Sunday, all those things, yeah. And I'll be watching.
Happy birthday!
That's right, 15 years old.
What are you guys doing?
We got driving lessons to worry about. We'll be eating. There'll be a lot of eating. There'll be a lot of there'll be some shopping. I think shopping I'm not going to be a part of. My mom and my daughter can do the shopping together. They basically told me we don't need you to hang out around us for that. I don't think they want me around for it.
So basically, I know it's probably a gift in and of itself, but basically, your daughter's birthday just makes Father's Day a little bit obsolete, right? Like, is it all about little girl at this point? And the only reason I ask, my wedding anniversary is a day before my birthday. And by the time we get to my birthday, everyone's all celebrated out. They're like, wait, we just gave you a day. We can't give you two. So I didn't know if you were going through the same thing this weekend. So happy Father's Day as well to you, Phil. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I think it's got to feel for a lot of people the way that if they have a birthday on Christmas Day, you feel like something else is being over-celebrated and you're being under-celebrated a little bit. That's got to be what it feels like.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I'm not 21 anymore. It's not the end of the world. But anyway, but happy Father's Day and happy birthday. But anyway, go ahead. What were you now?
Well, while you were gone, the whole Dan Hurley situation happened. And you sure. were, you know, watching your podcast and seeing your presence on social media, I think you had a different view onto what this situation was about than most people. And we all were focusing on, you know, why would Dan Hurley want a Laker job? Why would you not want that job? You know, college over pros and everything. And you had a totally different outlook on this. And I wanted you to bring it up on the show here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Dan Hurley did the media tour yesterday, and I think he actually kind of addressed a lot of what I kind of believed from the beginning, which is that I always viewed it, and you know, he gave the whole, oh, it was the hardest decision of my life, and maybe it was. All I'll say is, you know, his behaviors did not reflect somebody that had the hardest decision of their lives. I mean, you know, when you're thinking about taking a job that's going to alter not only your career, but where you live, moving family, you don't generally do it. You don't generally fly out in less than 24 hours, and then you're back less than 24 hours later, you know, at a concert. And again, he addressed all this yesterday. Oh, the concert was pre-planned, and I wasn't losing those tickets, blah, blah, blah. But I always saw it as a little bit of a leverage play, certainly from his perspective. And I'm curious if it's from both sides because, you know, obviously in our industry, it's a competitive industry. And 2 days before That story breaks. There's a report that J.J. Redick is the favorite for the Lakers job. It was not from ESPN. It was not from Adrian Wojnarowski. It was from his biggest rival. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, no, don't believe that report. J.J. Redick is the favorite. Dan Hurley's the favorite. And Dan Hurley's the favorite all along. One thing I will say, whether Dan Hurley struggled with the decision or not, he was not the favorite all along. And I just know that from simple business practices of you don't wait 5 weeks to talk to your number one candidate if he's available to speak. And so whether the Lakers, you know, my kind of conspiracy theory is I think the Lakers wanted a cover for hiring a guy who was obviously one close with LeBron, but two obviously has no coaching experience. And so I thought it was kind of a mutually beneficial thing where they can say, oh, we did a real search. We brought in Dan Hurley. We flew him across country. And Dan Hurley obviously is going to get a nice raise out of this as well. I said it the day it came out. I said, I don't buy this. I think it was kind of a mutually beneficial thing for both sides. Again, Dan Hurley has addressed it from his perspective. He basically debunked everything that not only that I've said, but I think a lot of people kind of picked up on the personal relationship his family has with Adrian Wojnarowski. That was how I always viewed it. Obviously, only Dan Hurley and his most inner confidants know what the actual truth is. But, oh, by the way, after all that, it looks like the initial report about J.J. Redick is going to end up being correct, as it appears as though he'll be interviewing this weekend.
Hey, Aaron, have you been watching the NBA Finals? And does this Boston Celtics team remind you at all of that Detroit Piston team with Rasheed Wallace and Chauncey Billup and Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton, the way they play defense, the way there's really – not just some guy that's like I think Jaylen Brown's the leader. I thought Chauncey Billups was the leader of that Pistons team. But what are your thoughts on this? How remarkable the Celtics have been?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I've obviously been watching. And I think that what stands out to me, I saw a great tweet from one of the Boston kind of beat writers. And by the way, I include myself in this group that really doubted the Celtics and kind of sat there coming into the playoffs and said, are they that good, or have they just been playing soft competition? And I saw a tweet, from one of the beat reporters, and I forget who it was. I'd like to give him credit or her credit. But they basically said, if you turn on TV, 95% of the conversation on the Celtics is, well, they didn't lose, but what would have happened if they did? In other words, it's like, well, they're beating Miami, and Miami stinks, and they didn't have to play Milwaukee, and they didn't have to, Indiana was a 7 seed, and yeah, they won, but, and it kind of struck me of like, maybe this team is better than we're giving them credit for. And so I think that's what stands out to me more than anything, Matt. I think obviously to your point, the defensive culture that they have, I think really the team culture that they have is that, everyone focuses on Tatum and Brown, but, Derek White stepped up, all that. And I think even in the Tatum Brown thing, I think it's one of those like made up internet stories that you hear on the talking head shows, but they seem to really like each other, and it seems like everybody tries to make it a thing that, to your point, Matt, Jaylen Brown's probably been better in these playoffs, even though Jason Tatum's supposed to be the star. So I've certainly been watching, I've certainly been monitoring, but I think that's the thing that stands out to me, and it stood out going into these finals, is you looked at the conversation about the Celtics, and all it really seemed to be was, well, they haven't lost yet, but what if they do? And it appears as though they're not going to, because obviously they can clinch a championship tonight. And if not, I would assume they'll most certainly do it on Monday night at home.
Aaron Torres with us here on Halftime on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. We saw the SEC-ACC basketball challenge matchups. And when you're looking at this, it looks to me ESPN is just going with what a team did last year. Sort of matching them up that way, which makes sense if you're trying to like balance things a little bit. But it might not be like some of the sexiest matchups, I guess. Arkansas at Miami, I actually think that could be an interesting game. Kentucky at Clemson is interesting, in a way that I'm not quite sure of. But again, I don't think you see where I'm going here. It's like I get what they're doing here, but they might not be the most exciting matchups.
Yeah, I think I'll say what it is. I think it's a big whiff by ESPN. I mean, this is ultimately the end of the day. I mean, I guess all sports are, but it's a made-for-TV event. And so I understand that maybe Arkansas was a little bit down. I also understand that Arkansas, right now has a coach that has as big of a brand as anybody in college basketball, including the two-time champion Dan Hurley. And so you have an opportunity to kind of reintroduce America to, because remember, these games are in December. I mean, you every day, I talk about it every day, but most of America by December is going to be locked in on college football, pro football, college football playoff, all that. And, you know, use that platform as a way to, oh, here's John Calipari going into the Dean Dome, the Cameron Crazies, whatever. Oh, that's right. He's the coach of Arkansas. Oh, who's this new guy at Kentucky? I remember they got a new coach, but I don't know much about him. But, well, Kentucky's playing at Carolina. I mean, I got to watch this one. It's a Tuesday night. And so, you know, I was a little bit disappointed. Obviously, look, Alabama deserves the opportunity to have that stage after everything they accomplished this past year. But, yeah, Phil, it's funny because I kind of said what a disappointing slate it was. And, you know, everybody has a uncle or a cousin that's in the SEC scheduling office that tried to explain, oh, I mean, it's based on blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't really care what it's based on. I just think it's a big whiff. And I think it's a big whiff, obviously, coming off the news a few weeks ago before I left, that, of course, Kentucky and Arkansas are only playing once. So, you know, the college sports is, at the end of the day, an entertainment product, as we're learning. We're not even going to have a Big 12 anymore. We're going to have, you know, the Dr. Pepper, you know, Midwest 12 in a couple months. It's like, this is an entertainment product. This is a business product. And I think it's a big whiff by the people that didn't understand that when putting together this slate.
AT, we'll leave it there. I appreciate you hopping on, man. It's good to hear your voice again, and we'll revisit next week, okay?
Yeah, we'll do our Dr. Pepper Big 12 preview. I'm looking forward to it, guys. And happy Father's Day, Matt. I don't know if you're a father. I don't want to leave you out as well, but happy Father's Day. And I appreciate you guys having me. It's good to be back.
Thanks, Aaron. Happy Father's Day.
Aaron Torres with us from the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast and from Fox Sports Radio.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Matt, you've been thinking that these Boston Celtics reminding you of the 2004 NBA champion Detroit Pistons. What is it about that makes you feel that comparison between these two teams?
Well, it's their defense, the way they guard, the way they defend,
physically.
Rip and it. I'll put it this way: when you got Derek White and Drew Holiday, that's like having two cover corners that can cover one-on-one, but they can also come up and hit you when you need to. And then you put Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, that's like having Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed. So you're looking at your perimeter right there. That's your perimeter. Man, those are just all four of those guys. They switch everything, the way they defend, the way they make the right play. And that's what, you know, Tayshaun Prince could guard anybody. You know, the way they could switch. You know, you kind of had to protect Rip Hamilton a little bit. Chauncey Billups, underrated point guard in the NBA. He's a kid from Colorado. I think he played for the Celtics. I mean, bounced around a little bit. And then Rasheed Wallace is a guy, Phil, that he would be like Marshall Faulk in today's game. He would be better than he was even when he played back then. Rasheed Wallace, the way the game is now, he was one of those first, you know, he's a North Carolina guy.
One of those guys that could take it from the outside.
Everywhere. Yeah, you couldn't guard him. Like, the way his height is, the skill that he had, the floor spacing, he had a back-to-the-basket game. I mean, he could do everything. That Pistons team... That's what you see. Now, you would need Porzingis. If you're going to take this Celtics team and match them up against that Pistons team, that would be just a knockdown, drag-out fight right there. But you got to have all your bullets. And that's what, in my opinion, makes this Celtics thing even crazier. They lost two. And maybe the Eastern Conference is just really down because they're going to be the first team to win 8 games in a row to finish out a championship run. And they're doing it without their best big.
Right. He's played in 2 games for the entire postseason. There's no reason to put him on the floor on Monday, is there? You lose the game, you go back to Boston, then maybe you got to utilize him or not then. I mean, it's...
No, he doesn't play.
There's You don't even think Kristaps has played his last game of the season, no matter what?
He did what he had to do. I mean, he set the tone. He
helped was win game one, essentially, right?
And I think that's kind of what the Boston was doing. Like, we're going to play him until we can't play him anymore because we know it's an advantage. And if he can help us win 1 or 2 games, then we go back to battle that way, one up. And that's what he did, man. He was very efficient. It's just one of those deals where it's you need time, so you need 8 weeks, 12 weeks to recover. Each time you come back in 4 weeks, it's never going to properly heal until you take the allotted amount of time.
Were any of the teams that Boston has played in the Eastern Conference healthy when they did play? I know New York was not.
That's the knock, Phil. That's what you're hearing. And Jason Tatum was at the podium yesterday, and that's what he said. They were talking about how good this team was, and then he's like, you're going to say we haven't beat anybody. That was they haven't beat a single Hall of Famer. You know, they didn't. Every one of their teams they played, the Hall of Fame player was hurt. If they had one, so yeah, that's why I say is it just the Eastern Conference is so down? You know, if you're LeBron James, if you're some of these guys, well, I'd be trying to get to Philly. You're trying to get somewhere in the East, maybe even the Knicks, kind of get somebody because. It's the battles in the West. I don't think Dallas makes it to the NBA championship next year. I think Boston can. The way the West and the East works, the West is going to be too tough. You're just seeing different teams go, who's ever healthiest. But I do think Boston will be back in the finals next year.
It's early in Luka's career, but he's on the path to be a Hall of Famer. And do you think Kyrie might eventually make it? He's 32, so... Maybe there's a couple of Hall of Famers on Dallas, but in the Eastern Conference, absolutely not. I think you're right. And I'm looking at the teams that those Pistons beat, and there were Hall of Famers on each team that they played at every level of the postseason. They beat Jason Kidd's Nets.
That's Rich Jefferson and Vince Carter.
Yeah, Kenyon Martin. Yeah. Kerry Kittles.
Yeah, Keith Van Horn. Yeah.
So it was a good team. That was a good team. They beat the Indiana Pacers with Jermaine O'Neal.
Was it Jalen Rose?
And a guy named Ron Artest that I don't think was even called that then.
Meta World Mishap.
Reggie Miller, that's near the end of his career at 38 years old.
Larry Brown's the coach, I think, of that Pacers team too, man. That was a solid, Larry Brown's a Hall of Famer in his own right.
That's an historic championship for Brown because he's the only one to win an NBA Finals and a national championship in college. Dan Hurley said yesterday, and I forget who it was he was talking to, that... he would have won an NBA Finals. I don't know what else you expect when you take a job as a coach in the NBA that you're not going to win an NBA Finals. But then looking at the Lakers that the Pistons beat that year, I mean, look at that. Shaq and Kobe, those are two iconic players. Two iconic players who went on to win some championships afterwards. Gary Payton was on that club too. Karl Malone was on. That's 4 Hall of Famers. Now, of course, Payton and Malone were at the tail end of their careers, but...
they could run that second unit. That's the whole thing. That's what you want LeBron to do going forward is to run that second unit.
I was looking at Rasheed Wallace now that you brought him up. Average 1 3-pointer over his career. What do you think he would average playing in today's NBA? Couple, 3 3-pointers per game maybe?
Yeah, just it's just the game has it's not as physical. There's not a lot of players with a back to the basket game. I mean, how many times during this series, the only post play I've seen is they throw it to Kristoff when he's at the free throw. That's as close to a post up play you've got out of either team, or if Luka just backs you down. There's not a lot of back to so you know that it's a more of a 3-point shooting game. So by that, just by the numbers, you look everybody's shooting. Larry Bird never shot more than two and a half threes in a game. You know, like, so, yeah, I mean, he would be a Supermax player, no question about it.
877-377-6963 calls and texts for any of that on the McLarty Daniel hotline.
The thing that blows my mind when sitting here talking about the Pistons to the Celtics is the Pistons were doing good in the front office until that draft the next year. We all forget they won the NBA championship and had the number 2 pick in the draft and passed on D. Wade, passed on Chris Bosh, passed on Carmelo Anthony for a guy named Darko Milicic. And so it was like then the Pistons would took him. I don't even know if they've even been close to relevant since they messed up that draft.
No, doesn't look like they have been. And in fact, they're in the front office.
Boston's been doing it right.
Yeah, they're on the opposite end of relevance. The last 5 years have been pretty miserable for the Detroit Pistons. Wes and Harrison thinks LeBron wants more rings to go to Boston on a Tom Brady discount. If I'm the Boston Celtics, you get a phone call from LeBron James, I would give him the phone number for, I don't know, the Sixers or the Miami Heat or something. They don't need anything to break up the chemistry that they have.
So Xavier Tillman is the one that's getting the 17 minutes that Porzingis was getting. That's if LeBron James wants to play Karl Malone. If you're like LeBron, you play the four and play defense and come over and do that. He can
time
do
to
what,
be a role player.
He can
LeBron.
Do what Tillman's. That's exactly right. He could do what Tillman's doing.
Does he need that at the end of his career, though? I kind of thought that the crowning achievement at the end of LeBron's career would be playing with his son on the same team. I just have a sense. Now, I don't know the situation with NBA free agency when a deadline might come if it's before the draft, but I just imagine it may have to do with where Bronny is drafted.
LeBron, and I said this when it happened. I had a radio show in Little Rock when Kyrie hit that shot against Golden State. That mm-hmm. was the biggest shot of Kyrie's life. I told Freaky Joe, I said he'll never hit a bigger shot than that right there. That's LeBron's greatest moment, winning the title for 1-3, coming back. I mean, that's when you playing with his son, it'd be super cool. And yeah, but for LeBron's legacy and everything he did, because he left and then came back and won that, I think that's what he's, I mean, that's his biggest.
Well, that's the franchise that I think he'd always be associated with.
That's no where. That's what. How he's going into the Hall of Fame. Do they get to go in as one? Do you get to go in as multiple
know if they,
teams?
I don't know how it's done in the in Springfield as far as you know what you go in as in with the NFL. You don't have a helmet on, so I mean it's not like they necessarily associate you with just one team if you played for a couple of them. But like with the Baseball Hall of Fame, some guys go in without a hat. I think there might be somebody going in this next induction ceremony that's going in without a hat, and then you know guys give their opinion. I think I should like to wear this hat, but they don't necessarily get that choice. But if I'm looking back on LeBron's career, I mean, I still remember this must have been, I was driving to Nashville from Little Rock for the baseball winter meetings around like 2002, I think it might have been, or 3. And I love getting, you know, I love listening to AM radio late at night, seeing what stations you can pick up. Picked up a station out of Cleveland, I think it was 11:10 a.m. In Tennessee, and they're talking about this kid. We already knew who they were talking about because LeBron was a celebrity as a senior in high school. They're talking about him and everything, and that was one of the first times I'd heard like a real in-depth conversation about him. And of course, he was with Notre Dame High School in Akron, always associating with that part of Ohio. And you're right, the fact that he came back and won the championship there, that's the best moment.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of their over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
All guests join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. And we've got Neil Atkinson with us today from Bet Sarazen, Arkansas's favorite sports betting app. Want to put a little wager on your favorite sporting event? College World Series, of course, starting this weekend. NBA Finals could conclude tonight. NHL Finals could conclude tomorrow. And everything going on in the world of Major League Baseball, plus preseason prop bets on the NFL, college football as well, all on the Bet Sarazen app. Works on your Apple iPhone. Just get it from the App Store, Google Android, from Google Play, or any web browser, BetSarazen.com. Good afternoon, Neil. How you doing, and where are you?
I'm actually just outside of Atlanta on the way to Augusta to visit some friends and family, but I was listening on the app and on the line, and what do you got against my Tennessee Volunteers in the College World Series, my dear?
Well, there's two things.
I tell you what, I just don't get any love. Us big old orange ugly guys don't get any love, do we?
There's two reasons. One, it's an SEC team. Two, they've never won a College World Series, and I'd rather Arkansas win before them. That's it. Otherwise, I love Vitello. I mean, he used to be an Arkansas assistant. Your top assistant there, Josh Elander, started his coaching career at Arkansas. And Luke Bonfield, who's one of the other assistants, played 4 years at Arkansas. I love those guys. I'd be happy for them if they win a championship. I would just rather it happen after the Razorbacks win one.
Oh, I understand it. And I've also got my eye, you know, if anything ever, DVH ever decides to move on. I mean, I'm like, well, will Tennessee have the muscle to be able to keep him, or will he come to Arkansas and I still get to see him? So, I am a number. I mean, I was born and raised Tennessee. I went to Tennessee, so I'm Tennessee first. But boy, my short time in Arkansas here, going on 4 years now, I have really, really adopted the Arkansas Razorbacks. I've actually got Arkansas Razorback T-shirts now. I got Arkansas hats, and of course, I have to pay a lot of attention to them because in the bookmaking world, boy, we can have some big swings depending on how well the Hogs are doing. And you know, football season is going to always be fun, but the basketball season has got me quite nervous managing the liabilities this year because there's going to be a lot of expectations. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun this fall, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it certainly is. With the NBA Finals and the NHL Finals potentially concluding in sweeps, now, I mean, you don't take a rooting interest for one team or another, but you certainly would love to see, and I think sports bettors, too, would want to see the series be extended. Everybody wants more games, and that would also be the betting apps.
Well, from a bookmaker perspective, absolutely, yes, because, you know, I feel I got cheated out of some games when the Arkansas, you know, exited the College World Series and the regionals early, so we lost games there, and then if you look at the championship series for the NBA, one went four games, one went five, and now we're up against the championship ending game four tonight in the NBA. So that's a lot of games that we're not playing that we would play if it was a six or a seven game series. And so I don't care who we got more money on tonight. I'm actually going to be rooting for Dallas because I just like you said, I want the series extended. And same thing. Be rooting for Edmonton tomorrow night in the NHL to see that series extended. So, and that's more from a mathematical thing from the bookmaker's perspective, but from the fan perspective, heck, you know, who wants to see the end of
of a baseball season, college baseball, when your team goes out. Who wants to see the end of the NBA? Who wants to see the end of hockey if you're a hockey fan? It's just always kind of a sad time of year, especially when your team's out, or, you know, it's the letdown, you know, after the big championship. And but, hey, the beautiful thing about it is not very long before we have something else started. And, of course, the boys of summer will be at it in full swing also with Major League Baseball. So, and then we're getting ready for football here pretty soon.
Well, all right, so you just mentioned the boys of summer. The girls of summer are the WNBA. And yep. That has become, this is the summer. Everything is changing for this. You see some franchises that have moved, not just games that Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever are coming for, other games, moving out of their smaller arenas to the NBA arenas.
Yep.
Does that also correlate with a heavier interest in sports betting on the WNBA specifically?
Absolutely. I was looking at last year's numbers on the WNBA and looking at this year's numbers. And it's right now at least four times, and I got a feeling once the NBA finals are over, a lot of the basketball betting is going to go ahead and move over to that. A lot of people's sports betting wallets will move over to the WNBA. And look, I mean, I turn on SportsCenter in the morning, and it's very, very entertaining right now. A lot of the news, a lot of the side stories that go on are bringing interest to the league. And, you know, those games, a lot of those games are a lot of fun to watch. And you see a little bit more fundamental basketball, in my opinion, with the women's game. So I am very, very tickled to death that the WNBA is picking up. And basically, you know, football is almost year-round. I mean, talking about football, you got the UFL championship this weekend. We'll have much more on the College World Series than people will bet on that. But the WNBA, I'm glad to see it take off, and it's just that much more content for people to bet. So, of course, I love it.
Well, and of course, the NFL is king when it comes to this, and I'd say college football is prince when it comes to money on sports. And, man, you scroll down the list of available prop bets for the NFL season. I'm still scrolling down. I'm still scrolling down. It's a never-ending mm-hmm. list. I mean, it just keeps populating, and with news coming out here and there from mini camps, and there'll be little pieces of news that come out in the few weeks before actual camp starts. People just, you know, they're getting their research done, and I'm assuming that they're pretty active on some of these preseason prop bets too.
Yeah, and you know, we don't arbitrarily act if a news story comes out. Before we move a line, we would take it off the board and see what it does in other markets. And then put the line back up if there's a big news story that comes out. And, I mean, I don't try to outsmart the sports gambler, just like the sports gambler is not going to outsmart me. I'm not going to outsmart them. And we put out, as a bookmaker, we put out the lines, and then we let the public opinion and where they put their money, then they dictate where the lines move. And the fans are passionate, and you got to look at regional bias too. So, you know, a line for one team in this area may be totally different than another area just based on, you know, how the people are following. And one of the things that I'm noticing now is that the player props, people are so in tune to individual players now that a lot of times we are having a lot more money on the outcome of the player props than we are on the outcome of the game. And that just goes to show you how engaged the players are in making their bets and how in tune they are to the different stories in the sports media.
Well, so much of that has to also do with the popularity and the rise and the dominance of fantasy football really over the last, I think, 25 years. I think a lot of people, you know, root for themselves more than they root for specific teams in some case. We all have our favorite teams and everything, but everyone's keeping their eye on their fantasy football as well. I wonder, though, did that ever, and I don't know if this is a question that can be answered, but the popularity of fantasy football, which goes into knowing more about the players and everything that they're doing, did that also come at the same time as just a rise in successful sports bettors?
Yeah, and you look nationwide, the two top sports betting companies are the former. They're the two biggest players in the fantasy sports name too. And the reason why they're doing really good is that they already had that customer database of those sports fans. And with digital marketing and when you download apps and things like that, they learn customer behavior, and that's how, you know, that they target and get all of these customers. And it has made it more difficult for us because, you know, the player, the more legalized, regulated gaming is out there, the more educated the players come. And once a player smarts out, if you're only playing all 10-game parlays and you're just doing it for fun, that's fine. But if you're a serious sports bettor, you're very rarely making a parlay. You're allocating your gambling funds and you're picking your best markets that you've got the best feel, or where we think we've got it priced wrong or the long run. And that's how the tried and true sports bettor that's kind of doing it for a living or doing it as a serious hobby, that's kind of what they do. The parlay bettor, the recreational bettor, they're the ones that you know, sometimes I see a parlay and it looks more like a lottery ticket than a sports parlay because they want those bigger payouts. But hey, it's funny. Sometimes those underdogs do come in and those big payouts happen. And we paid out several over the last year here at Bet Saracen and looking out to pay a lot more. Matter of fact, I think we're going to increase our liability for football season this year to where we're even taking bigger bets. So that's how much we've grown, and that's how much fun football season is going to be this year, both with college and with the pros.
What's the biggest bet? Can you tell us the biggest bet that's that you'll accept or that's been made, or is that protected information?
Oh, on a championship game or something along that line, we will take a $100,000 bet on a NFL playoff game, on a like the college football championship. We probably will take at least 50, maybe 100 on that. And on our parlays, we kind of limit them because we are an independent book in one state and are not markets. We'll take about any parlay that will pay out up to $200,000. So, because that's part of my job, is I got to manage our risk and our liability. And I have to be a little bit more fine-tuned into that because I don't have the luxury of a nationwide market like some of the nationwide sportsbooks do. But I don't have very many people approaching that bet threshold very, very often. And if they're a big player, we'll entertain just about any bet, depending on what side they want to put it on and what our position is currently in the market. So, bigger limits, we are known for doing that, and we will take them. And if you need a bigger limit and the machine and the software won't give it to you, call us up and we'll see what we can do.
Bigger can be better. Not all the time, but some of the times. Neil, thanks for coming on. Safe travels, and we'll be looking forward to talking with you next week.
All right, looking forward to it, and let's see what plays out this summer. And as always, everybody, bet with your head and not over it. Keep sports betting fun and entertaining.
Neil Atkinson from Bet Saracen, Arkansas's favorite sports betting app.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.